Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. Can you believe it? Here we are, December the 28th, 2021. Yep, I told you all that time was going to keep on going and we will get closer and closer to the end. In fact, beloved, guess what? Welcome to our listening audience. It will be next year, the next time I speak to you guys, 2022. But we're grateful to have you tonight in this place on Blog Talk Radio, following us on Facebook Live. You're listening to Talk Straight, as you heard, and we're happy that you saw fit, those of you who have, who will, to join us tonight. We do have a specific topic that we like to address, and I'd like to encourage you to give us a call here in the studio at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Be happy to engage you and entertain your question, your comments, your contribution to our discussion, our national dialogue. And that's all we ask that you do, is to keep it clean and make it meaningful. And guess what? You in. It's members only. It's a public party. Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll leave that right there. So when we consider the plight of urban American young people today in 2021 going into 22, it becomes quite obvious that there is a common variable between their behavior, their circumstances, and what's going on. The condition of their first exposure to society, though, is pivotal. It's the family and the orientation that they receive from that family. It has a tremendous impact on their lives as they grow up and as they develop. Now, this does not mean to suggest that they're forever doomed. For those who come into families that are not so organized, so structured, that's not the intended to suggest that. However, it does serve as a guide for us to focus our attention on fixing what is broken in urban American families. That's the focus of it. That's the purpose of it, you see. So join me tonight in our discussion as we talk from the topic, hope, in family stability. Hope in family stability. Indeed, we see a lot of things going on and people want answers to crime and resolutions to dismay and social despair. And I would argue tonight that there is hope in family stability. The earlier we can expose children to stability in the family, the better the outcome of their lives will be. Now, yes, some people have grown so far that you can't turn the hands of time. But sometimes we got to be born again. We have to go back and relook and rethink and ask ourselves, what must I change? How must I be different? Yeah, you'll experience Nicodemus' experience. And he posed a question to the Savior. Are you telling me that I got to go back in my mother's womb again? No, Nicodemus. No, my friends. Saying you got to re-enter your mother's womb, but you must be born again. I didn't come to preach, but I did feel something like, yeah, you got to be born again. For those of us who've gone so far, we missed out. We got to be born again. Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and I'd like to look at verses 25 through 27. I think there's a message that is apropos to our discussion tonight, hope in family stability. Listen, verse 25 says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the window. Okay. 26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Lastly, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. He that hateth gift shall live. What does that mean in context of hope and stability? There are some things that we should base our family on. The social orientation, the modeling, the discipline, the structure for our family. Right? Let us not base it on being proud about material things and things that can wither or fade away. As the text suggests, that even though the house may come down, that God himself, the Lord, will establish a border around your windows. We could fortify ourselves as such. Yeah. When we realize that we can't be so consumed about exchanging dollars for time with our children, they're the most precious thing that we have. Yes, we have to work, we have to feed them, we have to clothe them, but we may have to raise them to understand that it's not how expensive your clothes are or the materials you have, but the love that we have in our family. All right? Interesting text there, Proverbs 15, verse 25 through 27. Now, in the context of human society, a family is a group of people related either by birth or by marriage or some other relationship. Members of the immediate family is the term used or phrased in sociology. It may include a spouse, a parent perhaps, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters. When we talk about members of the extended family, we are talking about those that may be grandparents or great-grandparents, aunties, uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, and even siblings or in-laws. Now, in general, the family is the principal, I want to emphasize this, the principal institution for the socialization of children. Why do you say that, Dr.? It represents the very basic unit where values, love, discipline, structure, example are based for that child as they grow up from birth their development. You understand what I'm saying? Anthropologists generally classify most family organizations in a few ways. One as a matrifocal, excuse me, or a mother and her children. A conjugal, where there's a husband and a wife with children. Are you with me? Or that's also known as the nuclear family. The nuclear family. Husband, a wife, and their children. Then you have the avuncular family, according to anthropologists. And this is your grandparents, your brother, your sister, or even other related individuals. Now, the thing is that these are people that children come into contact with on a regular basis. They have an impact on them socially, emotionally. They look to them for examples, right? And they even shape their own interest and character and identity in many ways, which is why this last one is very important. The extended family, parents and children who reside with other members of the family. When there is a breakdown in, I would argue, the conjugal situation where there's a husband who's protector, provider, there's a wife who is a nurturer, an instructor, and as well as a provider, a teacher, and there are children there. When there's no window, no guard, no safety, the children are left prey, vultures of the air. All right? We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. You're going to call me, 6573-30944. That's the number to call me. Now, research has identified several characteristics possessed by successful families. And how do you define success? We're talking about where one generation teaches certain values and examples. They replicate themselves to the next generation. And they not only do well there, but they extend on it. And they replicate that to another generation, to where you can see where instruction started from one generation, 30 years, another generation within the 60-year period, and another generation within 90 years. So over about close to 100-year span, you can see that there's been certain key experiences that have identified and separated those individuals in that family context. That's what research is talking about. Families do well in each of these areas, have fewer problems. They're able to deal with effectively with problems when they come up. Life happens. On the other hand, families that have difficulty in these areas tend to have more problems that remain unresolved from one generation to the next. So they pass on unresolved grief, unresolved strife, and tension. Now, let's talk about a few things here, right quickly. Problem solving. Problem solving is defined, as a family's ability to resolve problems on a local level that maintains effective family functioning. Money problems, right? Communication issues, those type of things. And that brings me to communication. What is it in the family context? It's defined as the way verbal and nonverbal information is exchanged within the family. Now, a lot of times parents believe that children are seen and not heard. And they watch you and they observe your behaviors. But if you're not explaining things to them, they don't understand what's wrong with the behavior that you don't want to see. Because you've never taken time to talk to them about what's wrong with it and why it is inappropriate in various scenarios or cases. Communication is very, very important. So the voice of authority has to be established by the father and the mother early on. All right? Effective family communication depends on a few factors, including clear and direct communication between father and the mother, where there's no room for children to manipulate. Pick one over the other. Are you with me? It's important that not only you be the authority, dad, father, but you listen, that you hear your wife and your children, so you'll be better able to respond to their needs. Are you with me? Talking about communication now. Talking about communication. What are the roles in the family? This is what is politically incorrect today, I find, for many people. Not everybody, but for those who rattle the can like a rock in a tin can making a whole lot of noise and ain't saying nothing. But this bothers them. I'm about to mess you up now. Family roles. Family roles are reoccurring patterns of specified behaviors that various members of the family fulfill. I was just alluding to that. It is the father's duty to care, to protect, to love wife and his children. Mother's duty to love the nurturer, care for a husband and the children. It's a children's duty, a child's duty, to be obedient, to respond, and do as they're told. Roles in the family. And you erase those, there's no room for safety, order, or discipline. And that's what you see out in the streets, see? You see young people who have lacked these variables, these factors. Not that they're inherently bad people, they just have not been properly socialized accordingly. This is the focus here. This is the focus here. Hope in family stability. We'll talk about effective responsiveness. Effective responsiveness. What is that, doctor? Let me break that big word down. It's the family's ability to respond emotionally to other family members in an appropriate manner. You don't tell your brothers and sisters that you ain't nothing, cuss them out. You don't tell your children that. You don't tell your spouse that. That's no way to talk to one another. You understand? In fact, families need to be able to share their experiences, things that they go through, in a loving, tender, joyful, and sometimes you may even go through some emotions with fear and anger. But that's okay. You ought to share that with your loved ones, with your family. You understand? Here's what effective involvement is. It is that manner in which you determine how well family as a whole shows interest in and values activities and interests of their various family members. You're going to be there for them. You're going to support them. You're going to lift them up. You're going to care for them. You're going to fight for them if you have to. You understand? Well, you ever mess with one of us, you better break out because you're about to get bummed. That's a saying. That's a saying back in the day. And lastly, behavioral controls within the family. What are those, doctor? Behavioral control refers to the pattern of behavior that the family adopts for itself when they deal with various situations that come to them from the outside and things that may arise internally. Behavior controls, that's necessary. So when we talk about stability in family, it's important we understand what the critical roles are and who's responsible for bringing certain things to the table and how those things are distributed and made manifest. Are y'all with me? All right. So you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking from the topic tonight, hope and family stability. Hope and family stability. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. 657-383-0944. I asked Brother posthumously, I guess I should say, Al Green, if he'd come and help me out here. and intimate this idea of staying together as a family so that there will be stability. There will be hope. There will be trust. Let's listen to Al just for a second. As you get on the phone right now, 657-383-0944. That's the number. Call. You listen to Talk Straight. That's your host, Brother Doctor here. Give us a call. You're 657-383-0944. Building the family tonight. There's hope for it. There's hope for it. You may not agree with me. That's all right. I want to hear from you. Educate me tonight. Let's have a dialogue. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And again, the number you can call in the podcast studio tonight is 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to have you. Look forward to hearing from you. As we await your call, we'll continue to engage. And again, you are listening to Talk Straight. We've been going on for a little while now, for a few years, and we've been trying to focus our attention on a medley of issues that range from theological ideas, social ideas. Talked a little bit about politics. You don't spend a lot of time on it. Economic issues. But largely, we talked a lot about how to fix the problem with young folk all across America, and specifically urban American neighborhoods and families. So I'd love to hear from you tonight. This is our last Tuesday before 2022. We'll keep the phone lines open the best we can. And look to hear from you. That's Al Green. He said, let's stay together. And I recommend this for the family. Yeah, yeah. Whether times are good or bad, happy or sad, let's just go and stay together, man. Let's do that. Why don't we do that? How about that? Yeah. So, recapping some of what we talked about, I realized that many people have grown up in various contexts of families that have differed from others, right? And we've talked about it on here that unfortunately there's no perfect definition, and people have been through so many things. There are individuals who even come up in challenging, difficult family situations who have been blessed to overcome them. They've learned how to overcome them, those adverse circumstances, and they have made the very best of their situations, and they've demonstrated the ability to overcome. And we want to highlight that as well. We want to recognize that. But unfortunately, more often than none, and too often than desired, there are those who never learn. And they take certain turbulent things to the grave. And I would argue that they don't understand how oftentimes those experiences are the things that get in the way of their success. Why they would sabotage a good opportunity or relationship. Give me an example, doctor, what you're talking about. Okay. Let's say you have a young man or who has a young lady and they're getting together. One or both of them have had bad experiences in other relationships with folks. They brought that baggage to this new relationship and it was unresolved. So the minute they go to try to work together and be one and see eye to eye and walk down the path together, those issues keep coming up. Trust. Yeah. Trust that you are not turning your attention from me to somebody else. You with me and me only. Those are some of the things there. Money. Concerned about who has what materially and can get what. Those are other issues. See? And if these things are not properly resolved or addressed when you come together, you know, you tend to have problems. Different value systems. In fact, y'all not going to believe this, but in a lot of situations, husband and wife go to different churches. I certainly had anyway. The husband going one direction and the wife going another. They're two different pastors. Can you imagine what kind of thoughts go through the child's head when they're pulled from one place to another? Why they would want to know what's going on there? Why aren't we together? See? So, but those are some of the variables. Those are some of the factors. I want to emphasize that I'm not saying that being the case, that makes you a bad person. But it's an indication where we have to work and why we have to work. See? You're not going to solve the problem until you recognize it. We got issues in these urban cities, crime and destruction. That's directly linked to the breakdown in the family in which they came from and how they were prepared to organize. See? I can tell you how to keep a child out the street with a gun or a banana after certain hours. Be a disciplinary force in their life. Have structure. Have order. Have routine for them. You see? Model for them the expected behaviors. And beloved, I guarantee you, when there's a reward to that, children will want to follow suit. See? Tell your children that I expect you to be knowledgeable about life and about the world, to obtain formalized learning. And I expect you to use that to help you navigate your way through the world. Tell them I expect you to replicate life through family in the context of commitment and marriage. Oh, no, doctor, you can't say that because everybody don't want to be married. That's part of your problem right now. Because you want to do the things married folk do, but you don't want to be married. Up. That's part of the problem. I'm talking straight tonight. 657-383-0944. Give me a holler. Don't call me. You know, I'm just a fathead preacher trying to help somebody along the way. And I want to hear from you. Explain to me where I'm going wrong. And I will consider that. I will consider that. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. 657-383-0944. Yeah. Marriage. See, what I would explain to folk is that the concept of a marriage universally didn't just pop out of the sky overnight, but it has existed since the beginning of the human experience. And marriage is the structural arrangement and commitment between a man and a woman husband and a wife, a commitment, a promise of something. What are they making this promise to? And this is where I would argue that some people get it twisted. You tell your wife, I promise you I'll pull a moon at the sky for you. Sounds good, but you set yourself up to fail, my friend. See, best we can do is to promise that we're going to fulfill the will of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, in our lives together, no more two, but one. See? And we're going to raise our children in the fear and admiration of the word of righteousness and truth. Yeah, that's a good promise to make. You do that, that means you're striving hard. And I'll do that until I die. Well, I can't do it no more. Good promise. Realistic promise, see? Don't promise nothing you can't keep. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? And so what are you saying, doctor? What are you saying? What I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is that part of the hope for the stability in the family, and I emphasized earlier that I recognize we can't go back and fix the mistakes that doctor has made already. Won't be able to go back and turn that around. But having learned from that, what you and doctor can do is teach the next generation and be happy that they can avoid and break those cycles. You know what I mean? See what I mean? Do that, you'll be doing all right, won't you? Be okay. Okay. Yeah. We're talking from the topic hope and family stability. I'm going to go to a commercial break here, and then we'll return. And I hope you join us, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call on this Tuesday night, December 28th, 2021. Wow. In time flying. Listen, we have been, when I say we, I'm talking about my organization, Dr. Christian Academy, as a non-for-profit organization, along with Building Families and Communities, a non-profit. We're endeavoring to start at some time in the future, formally, an educational institution for young men that are at risk. And I'd like to encourage you to listen to our advertisement here and act accordingly. We'll be right back on the other end of this brief intermission.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y Academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
All right. And we welcome you back here to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And we are talking from the topic tonight on this Tuesday night, December 16th. I'm sorry, it's not 16th. I wish it was, but it's December 28th, 2021. That means in 1, 2, 3, just 4 more days, beloved. Bye-bye, 2021. We out of here. We out of here. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Be a new annual cycle. And there's some things we can do. We can, people are going to likely be making resolutions as they traditionally do. That's a good thing, I guess. One good resolution is that I'm going to focus on improving, strengthening, and improving my family. Yep. So we can come out stronger. If COVID hadn't taught us anything, it should have taught a lot of people to learn just who their children were in these public schools when they were forced to be at home with them. Yeah, they knew now what was going on. They understood, see. So that's a good thing, though. It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we can look at how to improve that relationship. Dad, even if you don't live under the roof right now with your children, working to be in a position to be a positive, proactive force in their life, a voice, it's worth it. What you say, man? I said it's worth it. You heard me. I'm talking straight tonight. Yeah, it's worth it. So I like to encourage that. Moms, if you've had a breakdown with your daughters and your sons, and you've had issues, sometimes it may require some counseling, family counseling, an objective source to help you hear one another and break through those things. Isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? I think so. I sure think so. But you call me and tell me if you don't think so. 657-383-0944. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. I want to know what you think. I know what I think already. Let me know what you think. I realize that this is a, we're still in the backlash between Christmas and New Year's. And no doubt people have gotten busy doing other things, you know. I get it. But Talk Straight, scheduled to air at 7 o'clock p.m. on December 28th, Tuesday night, December 28th, 2021. And we're grateful that we were able to do that. And we'll keep the phone lines open as long as we can. If you give us a buzz here, we'll likely, we'll see how far we go close to about another, perhaps to 1:20 or 1:30, an hour and 20 hours and 30 minutes, you see. And we'll see where we go. We'll see what we do. But we're grateful again for each of you who have joined us over the years. I can't say that enough. I had interesting dialogue with two gentlemen yesterday where they were sharing some things with us. And we want to encourage our listening audience to keep on following us here. Either from the Blog Talk Radio platform, which is blogtalkradio.com/ BFC Institute. Or you perhaps have followed us on Facebook, in our Facebook group, on BFC Institute Facebook group. Either way, we welcome you and we honor your presence, your contribution, your interaction there. All right. All right. And we're just awaiting your call here. And you feel free. We got the phone lines open, 657-383-0944. We'll strive to be here with you. It's been one of those days today. And, you know, but again, we're here with and for you, with and for you. We hope that everybody's doing well. We heard from Pastor Waller last week. I trust that he's doing okay. And we haven't heard from Mama D or from Jacksonville in a while, but we trust and hope that they're doing fine. We realize that everybody have their own challenges. They got their own lives to live. That's right. Everybody got to take care of their own business. So we recognize that and we honor that. We cherish that. And we wish the best for everyone. St. Louis and Chicago. All the folks, St. Selma, Alabama, wish the very best for them, the very, very best for them. So having said that, what we're going to do is we're going to cut right quick to another little intermission here, a break, and let's hear from a posthumous guest we've had about solving problems. We're talking about hope and family stability. That's our topic tonight. But while we await your call at 657-383-0944, let's hear from, I think this is Reverend James Luther Bevel, the late James Luther Bevel, talking about solving problems. Listen here.
Well, you cannot solve a problem if you do not understand the nature and the cause of the problem. In order to solve any problem, you have to do an analysis of the problem, and you got to go back to the genesis and the cause of that problem. And so we have to go all the way back to the beginning to understand what is wrong. Because I don't care what you believe, and I don't care what your opinion is, if you do not know the truth of what to do, and if you do not know the truth of what caused an error so that you are not doing what you are supposed to do, no matter what you believe, you can never come to do it.
That's interesting. Sound like he's telling us, which I tend to agree, that you've got to recognize the existence and the true nature of your problem, so that you can be involved, actively involved in solving it. Yeah. Call things out as they are, not the way you want them to be. You'll get there having them the way you want to be after you change them. But that requires recognition of the need for change of behavior, person, places, and things quite often. Yeah. Then we can make progress. We can get somewhere. So very interesting. Very, 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 very interesting there from James Bevel there in terms of understanding the nature of certain things. While we're at it, let's talk about the nature of the problem. Let's pick back up there just a little bit. 657-383-0944. We're listening for your call, and we'll bring you right on there.
And all of us look around and we see drug addiction and we see the nations facing with a nuclear winter and we see droughts and we see violence and hate and we see poverty and all kinds of disorders and we see the dread disease AIDS and many other diseases that are taking folks' lives and we see an anemic, uninspired people, and we see violent and destructive young people, and we see drifting and unspiritual filled churches, and we see an education system that's turning out youth that cannot read and write, and we see an economy that is on the decline, and we have an ecology that is being polluted, and waters and atmosphere being destroyed, and we see our topsoil being run off of our land into the sea.
Sounds like there was an involvement with family there, with children in public schools, with the environment or society as a whole, and churches. Now, those are some interesting places that often have an impact on children's character and shaping them, directly or indirectly. The church, the school, and the home. The church, the school, and the home. Interesting. What is it, beloved, that we can do to fortify the stability of families, the home, through our churches and learning institutions? I think that's a relevant question. I'd love for someone to share me their ideas. Let me look down here on Facebook to see if somebody has posted a question or comment. I'd love to hear from you on that, you know. I'd love to see what you got to say. Let me pose that question out here. All right, that's our question. What can be done from the church and the school to fortify the family unit? Let's put that out there. Let's see if somebody can answer that for us. And we got a caller here, 323-6606. Welcome to Talk Straight. And we're talking from the topic, hope and family stability. I just posted a question on Facebook. What can be done from the church and or the school to help stable families? Welcome, caller.
Well, thank you, and belated Merry Christmas to you and to your panel.
Thank you.
I'm an agnostic atheist. So what the church can do, that's not my purview. What the school?
You pass on that.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess.
What the school will do, I don't think that the school should have the responsibility of doing anything to administer any kind of advice to the family, because they'll mess it up. It is the parents' responsibility. And I think parents, regardless of whether they believe in God or don't believe in God, should believe in morality and should believe in responsibility. And on a daily basis, from the time the child is old enough to understand English, should infuse those types of principles in the child's mind, as well as self-sufficiency, and as well as making the child believe that if anything goes wrong in that child's life, then that child should feel safe enough to go to the parent so that the parent can resolve it as best as possible. And I think that would create a bond. So when that bond is created, especially when your child is very, very impressionable, I think, theoretically at least, that that bond should persist throughout his or her adult life and make that child a responsible parent when they grow up.
Right. Well, okay. So, my friend, one of the things I addressed in my monologue earlier is the need to identify and embrace specified roles within the family context. And I try to make it very clear of what some of those roles are. A father, a mother, and children in the context of a nuclear family. And I realize that in this present moment, many see that as being politically incorrect, because it appears that some are trying to redefine that from its traditional sense. What say you on that?
I don't have a problem with people, well, for example, lesbians adopting, gays adopting, because the jury is out as to whether or not they can actually be good parents. If they can't because they're of different genders or because they really have psychological problems, then they shouldn't adopt. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the nuclear family, it is extremely important to have a mother, a father, both of whom are emotionally balanced, so that they can have children that are obedient to them while at the same time self-sufficient, and can grow up, as I said before, to be strong adults who will then pass on their feelings of security and faith if they are in a Christian family or Muslim family, a Jewish family, down to the kids. I think the major responsibility and the major strongest premise should be that of morality, regardless of whether you get the morality from the Bible or from the Ten Commandments. Do not hurt people unless they hurt you. Mind your own damn business. Be generous when you can afford to be generous. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not talk behind people's backs. Those are very basic things, very basic moral virtues. But to your other point, where it seems as though nuclear family is being replaced, it does seem that way, doesn't it? It does seem as though forces beyond our, perhaps my understanding, they're trying to destroy the nuclear family.
And the media is a major contributor to the suggestion of such. That concerns me largely, you know. Now, here's the thing. We talked about, or you mentioned, and I agree with you, the need for young people to grow up and recycle humanity through family. And we know biologically that two males cannot produce offspring, or two females alone can do it. And if a child is growing up in a home with those examples of people that have parental authority, and they're not teaching them the importance of understanding not just being a male or being masculine, but being a husband and a father, aren't we cheating them? Aren't they missing out on some key lessons to a stable family future in the future?
Oh, of course. Of course. But that's why I said the jury is out, because I don't know if two gays or two lesbians are foregoing that kind of responsibility. I think if you teach your children to be strong, let's say this, they're two guys, right? And they adopt a child, and the child calls both of them mom or both of them dad. Now, it's confusing in today's society, of course, because we're used to a mom and a dad having, of course, being biologically male and female.
Absolutely.
But does it necessarily mean that two gays cannot produce the same kind of philosophies and imbue those philosophies of morality, of masculinity and femininity in that child? And I know a lot of women say, well, you can't, I, as a woman, can't teach a boy to be a man. Mm-hmm. I think not to be a man per se, but to be a strong person, and as a strong person growing up, they can know what a man is, you know, in my opinion.
That's a good point. So I ran for office here locally in Nashville, Tennessee, and that question was posed to me by a same-sex couple, and they made the case that there were a lot of children, which they are, in foster care, desperately needing a home, a family. And they made, I thought, a strong case that they can provide them shelter, they can provide them support and confidence and love and things of that nature. And they were asking me if I thought there was something wrong with that. And I said, well, if that's all it is, no, absolutely not. You know what I mean? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with doing that. However, one would consider, I would encourage them to anyway, in terms of the emotional and the identity of a male and or female, and the importance of understanding, again, the preparation for those roles I pointed out early. And if you're not willing to be honest with them about that, then I would only question what your motives are, you know, because if what you want to do is to model them to be have alternative lifestyle, I don't know if that's very healthy for them in the long run.
Especially if they're going to teach the children that they have that the alternative lifestyle is really the best one or the only one. But I was assuming that
or normal.
Two gays.
Or normal.
Huh? Or normal.
Or normal.
I was assuming that two gay or normal, yeah. I was assuming that two gays or two lesbians would teach their children, we adopted you, but you can choose to be gay, bi, or heterosexual and pick whomever you want.
Interesting.
But again,
I think that's even worse, though, my friend. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. But I think that's even worse. That's even worse. If you can't help them, don't hurt them. You understand? What a boy needs to understand is you grow up to become a man. That's the ultimate manifestation of a male. You're born, I don't mean to cut you off, you're born a male biologically. You develop physically and emotionally to the boy, and the boy grows and learn how to be responsible as a man who becomes a husband and a father. You see what I mean?
Right.
And
I agree.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I
no, no, no. I agree with you.
So, you know, and again, I think sometimes, caller, people think it's about downing folk and their choices. But if that's what two consenting adults choose to do, fine. Don't put that on children, though. You see what I mean? That's the only thing I would say. Leave the children alone with that.
Well, I understand from your perspective as a person who believes in God. I'm a person who doesn't believe in the almighty, all-knowing God. I have my reasons. But I do believe that if people are good people, they will raise their children. For example, there are men and women who get divorced. Let's say they get divorced when the child is around the age of 6 or 7.
Right.
Now, the child normally is going to stay with the mother.
Yeah. That's,
now, a lot of mothers, as I've already said, they believe they can't raise a boy to be a man. I don't know if that's true. I know of boys who have come from divided homes, and they're pretty masculine to me. They seem to know what a man is, who they are, and they don't mind, maybe they're too masculine because they're going out there trying to do everybody that they can, you know, every chick that they can find. But, you know.
That ain't masculine. That's trifling. That's what that is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's just trifling. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So like I say, the jury is out. If there have been studies over, let's say, 20 years in which same-sex marriages or same-sex coupling have children, and those children have turned out not to be very confused about if they're men or women, then you know, somebody should step in and talk to these people about, you know, should you really adopt children? Because apparently you're not teaching these kids how to be men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that because they're gay, or is it because they're not teaching the children the right things? Let's not forget, you can have a male and a female have a nuclear family, and the child can still grow up to be a criminal or a sociopath or somebody who's just not socially responsible.
That's interesting. And I would argue that you can have a chronologically grown male, a chronologically grown female that have produced a child, offspring, and they themselves don't know how to be responsible, to be a responsible father and a mother. And that's what they model for their offspring. And ultimately, I would argue that's what likely happens, is there's some sort of malfunction there for them. Not that they're a bad person. See, we talked a couple of shows ago about the nature of crime, and that is people who engage in behavior that is offensive to the will of society and other people. What makes a person do that? What drives that behavior? You understand what I'm saying? And we're not trying to analyze it all tonight, but I'm simply saying that part of the role of a healthy, stable family, and that's the thing I would argue we need to get back to. It'll stop crime. It'll stop the welfare system. It'll stop the social service system. It'll stop foster care and all of it if we get back to families. In other words, stop hooking up, making babies without knowing that you promise that there's a promise that you're going to grow them and develop them to become productive, meaningful citizens to the world, and beginning in the immediate society that they're in. So I'm sorry, I got on my – you got on my soapbox.
No. I agree with you totally about that. I agree that – I remember I was saying they should grow up to be strong and responsible people. But yeah, in order for them to do that, for the kids, they have to have a faith in their parents. The parents, as you've been saying, and I've been saying, they have to be good parents.
Absolutely.
You believe that there should be a definitive role. I don't believe that there should be definitive roles in marriage because a lot of men don't believe that the woman should be the leader. And I say, you know what? If I met a woman who had a higher IQ than me, who was making more money than me, right? She was pretty. She had a pretty good sense of self about herself, and she liked me, and I liked her. I'm not going to be offended or irritated by the fact that she has these very strong qualities. I like strong women. I don't like women who are going to compete with me to try to be the boss. But if she's got more brains than I do, and I know it, I'm not going to compete with her either. If she's got 180 IQ, you know.
Yeah. I would argue that there is a balance there, and it's not about competing. I would never be able to be a woman. Don't want to try. And I don't believe a woman would never be able to be a man and shouldn't try. But be the very best man or woman that you can be. And when people are doing that, there should be any competition about that. You know, a man, and I'm not just talking about a chronologically grown male. I've written a couple of pieces about this. But a man is not intimidated or threatened by the productivity, the creativity, and the contribution of a woman in the context of family. In fact, he embraces that. If he's wise, I mean, that's
he certainly should.
Makes him, because that's what their purpose is. Likewise, a woman should not be offended or threatened by the assertion of responsibility, caring, protecting, providing.
Ah, there you go. That's right. But they don't want that kind of responsibility. They want men to be the leaders. They want men to be the leaders, but they want the men to be the leaders as long as they ascribe to what the women want. I've had this discussion with other people before.
Okay.
And a woman will say, well, I want a man to be the leader. So I say, is that right? So then I give a situation. I say, okay, let's say you're married to a man. You want him to be the leader, right? They say yes. I say, okay, that means you want to do what he says is good for the family. And they say, well, yeah. Okay. All right. But then what happens? So I give this situation. Okay, so now let's say he's making $100,000. You're making about $80,000 a year. You've got two kids. He wants those kids to go to private school, private high school. That high school is going to cost $20,000 a piece. So that's $40,000 for those kids per year. Then he wants them to go to camp so that they can become, socially acceptable, socially strong, so leaders in society, and that's what he wants. Now, suppose you don't want that. You're going to go along with him? Now, the people I've had discussions with said, well, no, because he should consider, what I want. I said, yes, and he has, but he's the leader, and he's making the decision for the household. So they all said, all these chicks, they said, well, no, because that's a dictatorship.
Well,
all right.
Before you get with someone, isn't that and when I say get with them, before you get moved to intimacy, aren't those discussions you should have?
How many people outside of very ardent Christians, ardent Jews, ardent Muslims have those discussions?
Well, that's interesting because my rest is so. Both my dad and my mother-in-law were here at my home with my wife and I, and we were having that discussion. Both of them were born in 1930, okay? So they grew up in the era where people weren't thinking about, what came after the fun you had. they dealt with it. You understand? That's why they had so many shotgun weddings. But and they both looked at me like, what's wrong with this cat right here? He done lost his mind talking about somebody thinking about him. But I would argue, my friend, that that is the one element that's missing from church, from society and community, and telling young people that this is how you plan for the future. You understand what I'm saying? That's an important part of
not only doing it. Yeah. Not only do I understand it, I recommend it. I've talked to people. I've said, this is what you should do before you get into a relationship, before you get into a committed relationship. Take out a piece of paper, and you put down on the piece of paper what you
like
and what you dislike about each other. Okay?
I like that.
And you put down, you put down on the piece of paper what your deal breakers are. And I'm going to, so that you know beforehand, because everybody, everybody goes into a relationship based upon hopes and dreams and hormones. They think that she's the right one. They hope that she's the right one. She hopes that he's the right one. And then what happens? They find out that they have flaws. Okay, the man is not Hercules and she's not Aphrodite. And then they start getting on each other's nerves and they have a 54-55% divorce rate just for the first marriages alone. So I agree with you 110%. You should discuss what your future should be and what's going to cause you to get angry in a relationship. How do you resolve conflict?
Correct. Correct. But, you know, my friend, one of the problems is that we have too much of a makeup society. What do you mean by that? People are put on the front, and that's what folk fall in love with is their facade. They never really get to know them until after they get home and start peeling stuff off. Male and female.
Right.
And they don't like what they see after they start. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? People say, you know, when you're dating, you can't pass gas or burp within the first few dates. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you run up. Well, the truth of the matter is we all pass gas. We all burp, right? And that's a reality. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. But I guess the point here is that we have reason to think that, you know, in order for us to be successful, we have to tell a little white lie. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be a little dishonest and trick them, if in a sense. You know what I mean? I know a lot of I have five sisters and a lot of cousins, and they have an opinion that, you know, you can make a guy into what you want him to be. You set yourself up for disappointment then.
Well, yeah, you know that old saying, you know, a girl wants a guy that she can change, and a guy wants a girl that stays the same.
Gotcha.
You know, no, I'm not politically correct. I've had my discussions, let's say, quote unquote, or arguments with girls about what they want. Then I'm saying, well, what do you bring to the table? I know what you want. And you know what? When we have these kind of discussions, and if there's guys present, a lot of times the girls, what they believe, the attributes that they have are valuable to a relationship, are not what the guy wants. So guys and girls really don't know each other as well as they should. That's why I always recommend take out that piece of paper, and before, you know, you might even, as a result of that piece of paper, you might decide not to get into a relationship. So your heart might be broken in a certain way, but it's better than to go into that relationship and 2 years later really have your heart broken but and not even know why that relationship broke up.
Yeah. You know, one of the most honest pieces of music, rhythm and blues, I can think of is Earth, Wind, and Fire. The reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very honest. The reason that we are, because our feelings won't leave us alone. I'm paraphrasing that. You understand? Let's stop lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
I forgot some. I left them on the corner. No, we're here because we're hot and we're bothered by one another. But even knowing that, you know, I have grown children and I strive to teach them that it's natural to be attracted and, you know, want companionship, relationship. But you should distinguish that between, as we're talking now, the inevitability that physical attraction can lead you places that if you don't have the right conversation, later on could leave you pissed off. And really,
that's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
And even if the girl, I'm going to put the burden on the women. Even if the woman says all the right things with regards to that piece of paper. Now, with me, if, for example, I'm going to pick an example that's going to seem kind of trite, but it's something that people can identify with. Yeah, showing up on time.
All right.
Personally, I've only been late for anything in my life, maybe six or seven times from the time I was a kid, because I believe that if a deadline has to be reached, if you're going to meet somebody or do something by a certain time, their time, your time is important. Be there on time. So I've always been on time. There are people who never show up on time. Now, some people will say to me, well, look, Joe, my name is Joe. If you know that the girl that you're dating, for example, she's always going to be 15 minutes late, then you can always tell her the time like 15 minutes ahead of time. And I say, I can do that. Okay. And I can do that. If that solves the problem, then everything is okay. But let's say she has a chronic disrespect for my time. And as a result, we miss getting on the plane. We miss going to concerts. We miss getting on the boat. Cabs passes by, things like this. Three or four times that happens, then I'm going to think of her as a liar.
So,
she gave her best, she put her best foot forward. She's trying to impress me to let me know that, let me think that she's the one for me. But if she's going to, now that she's got me, if she's going to become so complacent that she's going to let her guard down to the point where I'm going to be affected negatively by it, then I know that she lied to me.
And would you agree that can work vice versa? That works on both sides.
If the man does it too, sure. Because I'm bringing this up because you were saying people by their facade. Do not tell the white lies.
No.
Be who you are.
That's absolutely right.
Be who you are. Mean what you say.
There you go. And do what you're going to do and don't what you're not going to do. Be firm about that. You understand what I'm saying? I like what you were saying about the respect and value for time. That's one of the things that I live by, that if you have a scheduled time to be somewhere and you get there on time, you late. I'm of the philosophy that by the time you got there, they've already went to restroom and talked about what they're going to do before you came. So you late. You done missed out on the deal. At least get there enough time to familiarize yourself with the environment, right? And to know who is coming and what's what and when. And you understand? That's what being on time is. But if you just there because you're going along to get along, you're going to miss out, and somebody will invariably, I believe, make an example out of you. You're not controlling the agenda. You're on somebody else's agenda.
And you're certainly acting irresponsible.
Sure. That's what I told my children. Now, if you decide that you're not going to do something, you don't want to do something, make that clear. Don't lead anybody on any other way. Just let them know, and they know not to look for you.
That's right. Say what you mean what you say, and let people know who and what you're all about. That way, if you take out the piece of paper, and if you're truthful about yourself, and if she's truthful about herself, then you have a very good basis for knowing whether or not the relationship has a probability of winning, of actually becoming what's considered a healthy relationship. I always base it, on morality, okay?
It has to be morality.
I'm not talking about religious morality, even though religious morality is important, of course.
I think that's key. That's very key. What you're saying is key. I get that. I'll be the first to admit that I've had to apologize. My wife and I have been married now 26 years in county, and I've had to apologize many times. Because I didn't even know that about me, honey. We learned that together, Matthew. No, but, there were some things that, over time we grew to learn and know about one another. But I like to believe that I was firm about, you know, the original promise anyway, and have lived up to that.
Right.
But I'm just saying, and I realize that I don't speak for everyone. I recognize that as well. But if I had to offer advice, that would be the basis of it. That at least if you shoot straight, you're honest, you know, and you do the best you can, you know.
I mean, you don't look, people, there's always these people always want to bring in and interject with, well, what's a man? What's a real man? What's masculine and all that? And I just tell people, you know, if you're born with a pair of balls, you're a man. Now, of course, the role that a man is going to play, that I'm not, for example, I'm not here. I wasn't put on this earth to conform to other people's definition of what a man's supposed to do, supposed to be. I believe a man, if you're a responsible human being, if you can be trusted, if you're not going to lie, you're not going to stick your nose in other people's business.
Okay.
And other than that, if you have a good sense of humor, a good personality, you're a man.
Okay? I see.
If you're going to raise your children to be honest people, strong people, responsible people, moral people, you're doing the man's role. And I think if a woman has the same type of attitude that she wants to raise her son or her daughter in the same manner, then that to me is a good way to raise your children.
Mm-hmm.
Morality and responsibility are the two major premises for me.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because if you do that, then from that, kindness, generosity, thoughtfulness will stem from that. I know people who act kind, act nice, but they're not really kind and they're not really nice.
No,
they do so in order, you know, they do so out of expediency in order to impress the other people.
Right. And that's not going to, that will soon materialize itself, won't it? The motive behind that will become quite evident real soon.
I don't know. You know why? Because there are people who will play the game for years in order to make sure that they've got that man or woman in their clutches and get what they want out of them, either emotionally or financially.
Well,
so,
this with you. And I've been pastoring now for 27 years. I had the occasion to offer counseling to a couple. At that time, they were in their early 60s. They had been married for 40 years and had, just one child, a daughter, just had a daughter. And they decided they wanted to get divorced after 40 years. Man. And my first question was, so why now? Why now? And as they began to talk, they realized that they've been dishonest with one another. They had the child out of wedlock. And they cohabitated a good portion of time. And then they decided to go ahead and formally do it. But there were things that the husband wanted to do different and the wife wanted, but they just stayed there for the child to grow up. In the interest of the child. I thought they did a pretty good job with the child. But my point was, then they decided, hey, we don't need to be married anymore now because we're done. We don't have to try to convince one another anymore or put on. And what was clear is that they both realized, despite all of that, they did have an affinity and a love for one another, even though in the back of their minds, this is just a put on for our daughter. You know, and you realize that other things that you said you wanted to do, maybe you had a dream of them at one point in time, but you learn that you don't need those things. You know what I mean? You can live without them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what poverty taught me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. And that boils down to expectations. Now, men have very low expectations of women, especially compared to the expectations women have of men. Women are indoctrinated with Harlequin romances, Disney films, how their mothers and fathers teach them that they're princesses and all of this nonsense.
Film.
So they have this subliminal expectation And they don't even realize how powerful it is, of what the man should be like in order to impress them and to have them as their woman.
Okay. Okay.
Now,
okay.
And it's unrealistic. That's the point I was trying to get to, was that it's unrealistic.
Right.
Because what man is going to live up to a Marvel comic? What man is going to live up to Clark Kent, Superman, or Batman? Right? What man is going to come in and sweep her off her feet, save the day when she's a damsel in distress?
Okay,
and let me tell you, the vast majority of chicks in America, they want to be a damsel in distress to be saved by their man.
Yes. Well, you know what? That's the love game, man. That's, you know, woo doo 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 doo. You understand? That's the love game we play, man. And guess what? It's a lot of fun trying to pretend like I can lift the boulder, man, up and pull it up a hill all by myself. And it's a lot of fun to put that on.
No, it's not. Not to me. Not to me. Because I'm strong enough as I am. What I bring to the table is my own sense of morality and responsibility. I am an interesting person. I'm fairly decent in bed. I'm not a bad-looking guy. So if you want anything else out of me, other than the fact that I'm going to be straight with you, then you've got the wrong guy.
Okay?
Go search for Batman. Go search for Batman around the corner, and you'll be searching for the rest of your life for two to three divorces, you know.
Well,
that's your thing. Go do it.
I think that's healthy. That's a healthy acknowledgement that you're pointing out there. Give me a moment. We're talking from the topic hope and family stability. And my friend here out of California has been sharing with us what I consider to be some healthy wisdom here, some very healthy wisdom about ways we look at two voices of authority in the family context. And that's the father and mother. That's what he and I have been discussing here largely. We got a few more minutes before we leave. 657-383-0944. I realize, my friend, that this is we're in between New Year's and after Christmas, and people are probably still returning gifts and things of that nature. So, but we wanted to make sure keep our airways.
Returning gifts.
Right.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
If you want to give us a call, we still got a few more minutes before we get in here. I just want to reiterate one point that I shared in the monologue, and that is in terms of the family. I do recognize that in this present moment, even courts, family courts, have adjudicated cases in a way that it seems like the family, the purpose and essence of the family has changed from what it did since the beginning of time. And yes, I'm biased to the point that I do take a spiritual bent from it and have some expectations that there's expectations of doing right for a husband and for a wife. And when those two individuals are in agreement on that, sometimes I believe people think they are, and they fool themselves to say that I love you so much as I would do X, Y, Z. When there are times where you get sick, you get weary, you get worn out, and you want to, but you can't. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times when people find themselves at that point in their marriage, folk are unhappy because they feel like you can't fulfill me anymore. And now I got to go somebody else to do that. But when you understand that the whole purpose of it is to make a promise that you're going to recycle creation, you're going to recycle the family and extend on humanity, it's a little bit different. You were going to say something.
Well, I agree with you. I was talking about expectations before, and also to show up front. I also recommend put up a hypothetical and for the man and the woman to discuss. The hypothetical I've put up is, okay, do you believe that you are my equal? And if she says yes, and maybe not biologically, but emotionally and intellectually I am. Okay, I say, okay, fine. So you're my equal. You can make good decisions then. Yes, I can. And so you believe that you should be held accountable for your decisions. Yes, I do. I believe I should. Okay. So then I state this hypothetical. I'm your boyfriend. I'm home at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're out there coming home, but your car breaks down. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. What are you going to do, and what do you expect me to do?
Interesting.
Now, see?
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Keep going.
I would advise you to steal that from me and apply that to, you know, to some of your friends, and it'll be an interesting discussion because the woman will, it can start some fireworks.
Let me say this.
Uh-huh.
If it were my daughter be 25 next month, okay? And if it were my daughter and she had committed herself to that degree to someone and she had to ask them to come get her, that would be enough indication right there of you know, if she really needed them, what she can rely on, how far they would go to rely on them. You know what I mean?
See? Yeah, then that's it. See, that's where the fireworks begin. When you're finished, I'll give you my retort.
Okay. And on the flip side of that, if I am in a fight of my life, I expect if nobody else will be swinging with they back to mine, that my gal gonna be there. Excuse me. I mean, you're my woman. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I expect.
Right.
Because if you ain't, then I'm going to be wondering about it.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right.
I'm
so
listening.
What you're saying is that if you got into a fight, let's say some drunks tried to get into a fight with you, you would expect your wife to join in the melee.
Well, if I were in a situation where I was vulnerable and she saw that, and even if we both went down together, I would rather we both go together than her just leave me there. You understand what I'm saying?
You are very rare. You are very rare because most men would say they would want the woman to stay out of it. Okay? Because according to most interpretations of what a man is like, he should be able to fight them off by himself as much as possible, would not want his woman to get hurt. But, okay, so that it would be an interesting discussion. Now, I understand as a father, if your 25-year-old daughter had that type of boyfriend. Now, here's my retort to that. I would have had a discussion with her, and she would have said, and I would have brought it up. I would have said, honey, what are you going to do in case your car breaks down on the road?
Right.
Don't you?
Right.
And I would say, you know what? That's what AAA is for. You have AAA? No. Don't you think you should buy it? You know, that's your car.
Right. But now.
You're right.
Here's the only thing. You said she's out 3 o'clock. I would beg the question, what is she doing out at 3 o'clock in the morning in the first place? I don't know. You know, we didn't paint
she's
that.
She's coming home.
Picture.
She's coming. Yeah, I mean, I mean, she's coming home from a business trip. She just leaving the airport. Something like that. You know, she's not doing any hanky-panky. She's coming home legitimately from a legitimate situation.
I guess.
So now the car breaks down. Should she call me? Yes. Why? In order for me to keep her company on the phone. For her to say to me, hey, Joe, my tire, I got a flat, my tire is busted, and, you know, yeah, I got a jack in the trunk, and I got a spare tire in the trunk. Yeah, and I said I was your equal for certain things. And, yeah, I could put the tire on by myself, but I want you to put on your clothes. I want you to get up from your ass. I want you to rise up from your sleep, and I want you to come out here, do it for me, because I'm your girl.
Joe, go put that tire on.
And I was
– I said, go put that tire on, man. Go put that tire on.
I would say – try to put that tie on. If you can't, then you call AAA. That's what they're there for. And I'll be with you on the phone. But just because you got the flat tire, should I call you if I got a flat tire?
Yeah.
No.
Well, You know, I both my wife and daughter knows that if they don't call me, I'd be offended. I'd be offended if they didn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind them calling me, but don't say to me, because you see, if they rely on men to do everything for them, they always do the heavy lifting, then they will never do the heavy lifting.
No, I taught my daughter I taught her how to do certain basic things, you know, on her vehicle. You understand? Troubleshoot, if you will. You follow what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I agree with you 100%. I made sure that when she got her insurance policy that they had roadside service on there. You understand what I mean? And up
sure.
to 100 miles, you know. Those type
right.
of things. I get what you're saying. I take your point there. But I just think in general.
But she should call me, because – you never know who's going to come out there. The guy could be an escapee,
yeah,
you know, or a recently released prisoner. So yes,
right.
she should call me. But for her to, because there's always going to be something in which she's cool. going to need me to do something at some time when she could do it herself.
Absolutely.
No, I don't want a woman who's a girl. I want
a woman
who's a woman.
What? Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old, right quickly. We're going to wind up, but explain it to me like I'm 3 years old, right quickly. I think I understand what you're saying. And tangentially, this is related to, I believe, the idea of a stable family. Understanding that there's, and what we're talking about, Joe, is a discussion that responsible, mature men and women have about their relationship with one another. I think that's a good way to sum it up.
Absolutely. Now,
and,
suppose this girl had the expectations that she's a princess. Now, isn't she
mm-hmm.
going to also pass down that princess Cinderella complex, is what it's called, that kind of attitude to her daughter and
yeah.
teach her boy to always, you know, not just open up the doors, but to risk his
yeah.
life for every and any woman that might be in distress?
Well, now I don't know about that one, man.
Well,
I don't know about risking your life for it.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't want it if their son dies as a result of trying to save a woman. But I think if you were to talk it over with your fellow pastors and your fellow neighbors, and you were to bring that up as a discussion, would you want a man, your son, to intervene in a fight? Let's say there was almost a fight. Tonight before I came home, just on the sidewalk, people
wow.
who brushed
wow.
up against each other and
oh,
almost got into a fight over it.
Oh, man.
So,
oh, man.
And I personally I've intervened in five fights of people I didn't know except one of the people I did know. So after having intervened in five fights, I didn't get hurt, but I'm thinking to myself, you know what? The sixth time, somebody's going to pull out a shank and stab me right in the back.
Yeah,
so I'm no longer a good Samaritan.
Joe, I was just going to say that I have personally witnessed incidents where individuals have stepped up. Now, and I'll say that, then I'll make this last statement. They've stepped up to try to intervene, and both the male and the female jumped them. Now, they call
mm-hmm.
themselves helping the female out. You understand? They call it to help the woman
yeah.
out. And she helped whoop them, you know.
right.
My pet peeve is that if a husband or somebody that's married to a lady decide to start whipping her head, beating her head in the public in front of me, I don't want to see that. I don't want you to do it. And I can't stop
no.
because if she goes
no.
back home with you, I can't.
Right.
But don't do that. That's a disrespect to my manhood for you to do that in the public.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
I would say, listen, you know, I don't know what's going on, but what is a disrespect to me is for you to whoop on her like that in the public like that. And, you know, I can't go home with you and follow what you do at home, but for sure, don't do that out here, not in front of me,
mm-hmm.
or you have to whoop me.
Okay.
You have to
right.
whoop me if you
okay.
do that. You see what I mean? And that,
I understand
that,
completely.
Well. But
I used to be the same way, but I wouldn't do it anymore because, again,
well,
as you were
yeah.
just stating, the woman can turn around. There have been cops
sure.
who have testified or at least have
yes,
said
sir.
That they've
yes,
tried,
sir.
They've intervened with the girl being beaten by her boyfriend,
right,
and then the girl
right.
tries to beat up the cop.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's happened, man. It's happened. It's a crazy world out here, Joe. We're going to try to get it better.
It is.
If you hope, I'll pray, because you say you're not a praying man, but you hope for it, and I'll pray then.
Okay. We can do that. We can certainly do that.
Listen, it's been wonderful, man.
Well,
we're going to wrap up for tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next Tuesday, and we appreciate you joining us tonight.
Okay, and you be safe, all right?
Yes, sir. You too. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, and Happy New Year to you too. And happy belated Merry Christmas.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Likewise. All right. And so we've been talking. You've been listening to Talk Speaking directly from the topic of hope and stability. And our good friend out of L.A., California, has joined us here in the conversation. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. And I hope that you can join us there and everybody is able to get things squared away. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Bonham. And again, you've been listening to Talk Straight. We'll be back next Tuesday night at 7:00 p.m. in Hispanic time for another episode of Talk Straight. How do people say, he's an on-time guy. Yes, he is.